Good afternoon, everybody. I say that because it's about 10 seconds past noon here on the East Coast on November 5th, 2020, 2 days after the election. We're still waiting to hear who won. My name is Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. I know who won today. He won the jackpot because he's going to be my guest today. Braden Moreno is originally the co-founder of Robo3D, a desktop 3D printer company that created a lot of 3D printing for the classroom. Now he's the director of STEM Solutions over with my friends at Boxlight. All right, he's going to talk to us today about STEM and equity and finding the right tools, okay, in this day and age to use to teach STEM, all right, and to make it available to everybody, all right. It's really good stuff. So we're going to, and we don't do enough about STEM over here, and I think it's important, so we're going to follow up with it today, and it's going to be a good time. We're going to archive this show over at ace-ed.org. That's ace-ed.org. That's the home website of our American Consortium for Equity in Education, ace-ed, ace-ed.org. It's where you'll find all of our podcasts. Just click through on the icon. Click through a little further, as you'll see. You can get to our schedule anytime. All right, and we also have our magazine over there, our wonderful magazine devoted exclusively to equity and access, which is why we named it Equity and Access. You can flip through. It's an online journal, again, at ace-ed.org. Our consortium is open to pre-K-12 educators. It's an industry-supported consortium to try to bring the industry and educators together for creative solutions to equity. It's free to educators in pre-K-12. So please join in the fun at ace-ed.org. And now, here's the one and only, I feel like Johnny Carson, here's the one and only Braden Moreno. Braden, you made it. It's Larry here.
Hey, Larry, how are you? Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
It's a pleasure. By the way, everybody, we were going to do this show back in October, and we had to postpone it, and I'm so glad you're here today, Braden, because I've been looking forward to this one. Okay?
Good me enough. As well. Tell us about, it's a good time.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. And by the way, I have to say this: back in 2017, sounds like prehistoric times. Okay, way back 3 years ago in Forbes, they had the 30 under 30 class, and Braden was one of the folks in there. You were selected. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, it was a cool time. I mean, we started our 3D printer company on a dining room table in San Diego, and
wow.
Didn't really know what to expect, but launched our business on Kickstarter, and, you know, somehow 1,100 people ended up buying our 3D printer. So
wow.
That sort of jump-started the business. And then, you know, fast forward to about 2.5 years ago, we started focusing our entire business on bringing 3D printing and other STEM products into education. So.
Right. And you, Robo3D was your company, and you acquired mystemkits.com, right?
Correct. Yeah. When we decided we were going to make a big impact in education with 3D printing, we said if we're going to move into this space, we need to have the best solution that schools can utilize. So we acquired mystemkits and then put together this program to allow teachers to teach with 3D printers in the classroom.
Okay, so my STEM kits and 3D printing are related. They're interrelated, correct?
Yeah, my STEM kits was a curriculum platform to teach math and science using a 3D printer. So essentially what it does is it takes the topics that teachers are used to teaching, but it does them in this fun, engaging, hands-on, exciting way for kids so they can learn these topics and lessons in a new way. And so that's what we got excited about. And, we acquired them, and we've been delivering the solution to schools all over the country.
That is great. And that's all part of Boxlight now?
Yeah. And then, so we acquired mystemkits, and then April of this year, Boxlight acquired us and mystemkits. Oh. So now I'm sort of, which is great for me because I've just always been a big believer in STEM and STEAM education. And so now I have access to more products and you know, under the Boxlight umbrella kind of integrate together, and I can make it really easy for even more schools to utilize a multitude of different products in STEM.
Boy, that's wonderful. And so let me ask you, before we get into the details of this, will you make the 40 under 40, or are you still under 30?
I am in my 30s now, so I'm not under 30. Oh. But
so now you go to 40 under 40.
Yeah. Now I got another goal to hit. Yeah,
right.
So.
That is so cool. I really just love it. Okay. Talk about, and this is interesting, and I'm going to make an assumption. Moreno, are you Latino?
I do have Latino roots, yeah.
Okay, so there is some Latino in your system, and I got to make this point. We got to make sure that every kid, okay, no matter which ethnic group, has access to STEM education. Okay, that is
100%.
A key fact. Yeah, it's a key factor, and the reason I ask, there are just too few people of the varied ethnic groups, okay, who get into this, okay, and it's not good, and we've got to make sure that we get this out to everybody. And I was just curious, okay, STEM education, how did you get so interested in it? How did you get interested in STEM, science, technology, et cetera? What's your background beyond what we talked about?
I think a lot of it has to do, well, me personally, I was always interested in kind of building things and creating things, and, you know, even as a kid, I was doing erector sets. I was building Lincoln Logs. I was making 3D puzzles. And so I was always a hands-on kid. And I think that really helped sort of shape who I became as a person, an entrepreneur. And I've seen that same moment happen within kids where they come up with this idea and we go through the process of designing it, like, you know, 3D modeling it and making it on a 3D printer and them holding it in their hand. And that experience is pretty magical. And so when you start to see that, you go, wow, this is the type of change I want to see happen in more classrooms around the country. We call it intrinsic accomplishment, which is like, you know, a simple way of saying, or just getting a sort of like a boost of motivation and a boost of self-confidence. And so that's what I love. I just like creating those moments as much as possible.
Yeah. I can tell you how old I am. I remember when Lincoln Logs were actually made of wood.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, plastic. I was playing with the, I don't know if they were the real wood ones, but they were definitely usable.
Yeah, oh, they were great. I used to build log cabins all the time. I loved them, and forts and all that sort of stuff. I loved Lincoln Logs when I was a kid.
Yeah, and that's
okay.
That's the
great
thing
stuff
with STEM. You know, you mentioned, you know, the Latino population. You know, even like, you know, young girls and women are underrepresented in STEM, and you know. The thing that programs can realize is that you don't need to buy, even if you're a program that doesn't have a ton of funding, you don't need to buy lots of expensive equipment to do STEM. I mean,
thank you.
STEM can be done with very simplistic equipment that can make a huge impact, you know, in students' lives. And so it's just one of those things I want to put to the forefront and let everyone know, like, listen, STEM can be affordable. STEM can be easy to implement. You just need to know sort of where to go and what to do.
Why do you think STEM is so important? Why do you have that perspective?
You just look at the facts, right? So, you know, you look at sort of where the trend lines are going, right? The jobs of tomorrow aren't in automation, right? They're in cyber physical systems. They're in artificial intelligence. They're in, you know, engineering. They're in like creating, right? So when you look at that, it's like if we don't teach STEM in education, the STEM careers that are going to be the major driver of all careers moving forward aren't going to be fulfilled. So you're going to see a huge skills gap. And so that's an area you need to focus on. And also, I just think developing kids, there's also this trend line towards like entrepreneurship, right? Building businesses.
Right.
And so, and STEM is a big proponent of that as well. STEM allows kids to build and create ideas from scratch and have, you know, deep critical thinking. And so we need to just prepare the kids for that future that is going to be inevitable regardless. So if we don't do that, you know, in the classroom, then, you know, they're going to have to get it outside of the classroom, which sometimes is difficult to do with all the distractions we have.
Especially,
you know,
these days. And by the way, the future, as you just described it, is here now. Okay.
Yeah.
What
exactly
happens in the future, it's just going to build on what we're doing now. And we have to make sure people understand that and have the opportunity to literally play in it. It's quite the playground, I got to tell you. So when you, Braden, I don't know, are you visiting schools and all that? When you look around and see schools these days, okay, what are your thoughts about the education in the U.S.? How we do it? And maybe you've been other places and can compare it.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely good examples and not so great examples, right? You know, I like to just lean on the side. I'll be the optimistic side, and I've seen some incredible programs that have really introduced STEM in this unique way. I mean, you look at schools like High Tech High and that started in San Diego.
Yeah.
And, you know, they have a very non-traditional curriculum program. You know, it's not very rigorous based on testing and things like that, but they also have 94% of their graduates end up going on to college, right? Which is a huge number of kids, right? So they have a huge growing population. They're also ranked as one of the top academic organizations, you know, within California, and they don't have a traditional curriculum program. So what does that say? That says they're doing with project-based learning is working.
Thank you. I love project-based learning. Yeah. We do a lot of work here with that because it's so darn important. We got a special issue coming up next year in our magazine, okay, all about project-based learning. It's that important. I think it's that important to equity as well and access to learning. Yep. So it's incredible stuff. Where do you see change being made?
Yeah.
Where do you want change to happen? Go ahead. Then I'm going to ask you another question, but go ahead. Change.
I think STEM is just a difficult thing for everyone to wrap their heads around and actually start integrating, right? And so that's why, you know, I don't want to post or talk about our product like as the forefront, but when you look at my STEM kits and what we're doing in that platform, you know, as part of Boxlight, is we're allowing teachers to easily teach the topics they're used to teaching, but do it with a 3D printer. So start introducing technology. Don't reinvent the wheel in terms of like change the complete topic or completely go project-based learning. Teach what you're used to teaching. So for example, teach, you know, standard deviation, teach different math concepts, but use a catapult that's either 3D printed or designed by students to do these actual things. Launch the catapult, change the launch angle, change the projectile weight. And kids can still learn the same basic concepts, but in a more hands-on approach. And I think that's when education starts to sort of slowly segue in the right direction. So that's what we're trying to kind of introduce to schools around the country.
And you know, I love that we're talking about the future of education, what kids need to do for the future. And the first thing that comes to mind is something that first was invented in the Middle Ages, a catapult.
Yeah, yeah. And the catapult is one of our most popular lessons, so I always use that as a good example.
Well, it's a great example, and I'll tell you why, because earlier in this show, in our conversation, okay, you said STEM, and then you said STEAM. And STEAM, of course, adds that A in there, which is the arts, all right?
Yes.
And I said this many, many times here on the show, nothing happens in science or technology or engineering or math unless that person thinks it's going to have an impact of some sort on society.
Yep,
and society,
100%.
History, etc. Excuse me. Got a bad cough today. I should have muted my mic. History, etc. Okay.
Yep.
Pardon me for doing that. Hold on. Let me do this. There you go. I had to clear my throat out. I apologize for that. History, etc. needs to be taught, okay, as a part of all this. So people understand what the consequences of STEM. And the classic example, not that anybody's going to do this in their living room, is the nuclear bomb. Okay, you can do all the science you want. That's a STEM project, building the atomic bomb. Okay, but the impact that it's had has been incredible. And you have to measure the two things. It's just interesting the way you brought them up together, and I like the way you did that. Okay, makes sense. Good.
You brought up a good point with art, too. So we always, you know, in my STEM kits, we have these design challenges. We have one around catapults. We have one around building rockets and things like that. And it's all using a program called Tinkercad, which is a free 3D modeling software online.
Cool.
And so, you know, you can introduce this to kids and have that. You know, we look at art as sort of like the crux of art is designing, right? Whether you're an architecture, whether you're an engineer, like you're in all these different fields, you're actually designing from scratch. So these kids can use Tinkercad and really fulfill that art, that A letter of STEAM education by designing and 3D modeling. So that's really where we're trying to head with it.
Yeah, and STEM should not be separate from the other subjects. It all wraps together. It all makes sense. And if they are separate, we've got problems down the line. I have to ask you this, though. Right now we're in the hybrid learning situation. All right. Mm-hmm. And can you put, and I'm sure you want to talk about Robo 3D and MyStemKits.
Yeah.
Can you put them into the pandemic situation we're facing right now with, of course, the hybrid education, some kids are home, all that sort of stuff?
I never want to discount what the current situation we're in. And, you know, I understand schools are trying to survive and just make it work. And Zoom is tough to keep kids' attention. You know, when you look at Robo, when you look at MyStemKits, I would say we have a couple of different options that we've done to sort of make it easy for this distance learning or hybrid learning environment. One is, like I just mentioned, the design challenges.
Yeah.
I mean, teachers can start a Tinkercad classroom. It's very easy, right? They go to Tinkercad.com. They start their own classroom. They can invite all their students. And then they can just propose one of our design challenges. So, hey, kids, today we're going to be building a rocket. Go ahead and watch these videos. You're going to do these activities. And the kids are going to go into Tinkercad and figure it out. That's what they do, right?
Oh, they are.
They start playing with things and messing with it, and that's what they're really good at. And so, you know, they can start doing these design challenges. But also we have these virtual STEM lessons where, you know, for that catapult, for example, the teacher can send, like, this virtual STEM module to the kids, and they can launch this digital catapult and do different activities with it. So we kind of have – We're still pushing the boundaries of bringing STEM to a distance or hybrid learning environment. But, you know, it is just tough to even have those conversations with schools right now just because, you know, the situation we're in, them just trying to sort of make it work and trying to introduce new products into the curriculum right now is a little bit difficult. But I'm hoping some listeners are out there, you know, that are saying, hey, you know, I know STEM is not being taught right now. I want to see, you know, what we can do. I'm hoping they're hearing this and saying, hey, there is a possible solution and, you know, reach out to me.
Well, there are absolutely solutions out there. And I think what you're describing with all the school districts, I think you're right to a certain extent, but we're kind of settling in now. Okay.
Yep.
I mean,
yep. Starting
some,
to settle in.
At some point, okay, what we're doing now has to become the normal, and that's starting to happen.
Yeah.
All right, and I've been hearing that out there, you know, and it's tough. So, we've had this, I'll say this 6-month hiatus, okay, but that's going to change again, okay. And what's crazy now will become normal later. If you don't believe me, just follow the election, okay?
Just, yeah, 100% agree.
Yeah, you know, it just makes us all crazy. So don't give up hope because you've got great products out here. How many STEM kits do you have? I love this.
We have over 350, all the way K through 12.
Oh, thanks for
STEM
saying
kits
that.
On the platform. So we have lots of different ones. We have 35 plus design challenges now for K to 12. That's growing. You know, Boxlight has two other STEM products as well that are integrated into my STEM kits. So there's lots of content curriculum. They have one called a lab disc, which is like a portable STEM lab you can take home and do experiments, which is really cool. So the kids can actually do science experiments at home with this LabDisc product. And then they have a product called the MyBot, which is a robotics product, you know, that can easily be taken home as well. So, you know, I think in this distance learning environment, there's sort of two things to understand. One, STEM can be done with little to no resources or money, right? And you don't necessarily have to have hardware all the time. You know, if you don't want to send kids home with hardware, you can still do STEM with like designing and things like that. But also, like, you know, if let's sort of start moving towards non-traditional curriculum, right? Let's just start asking open-ended questions for our kids. Let's start, you know, trying to get them to develop and create things from scratch. And I think if we do those things, you know, they're going to be more engaged at home rather than sitting in front of a screen and, you know, just, you know, sitting in front of a lecture or something like that. You know, we can do different things to make it creative and fun.
Absolutely. And by the way, everybody, it's boxlight.com. Just go over there, and where it says solutions on the icon, it'll say STEM. Okay? You can go right over there and see my STEM kits and all the other things that are over there. So it's boxlight.com. All right? And like I said, this hiatus is going to pass because, and you're saying it better than I can, kids have to learn. Okay?
Kids have to learn.
We can't be grousing anymore. We're going to figure this out. Okay, so it's just kind of sitting dormant while we make ourselves nuts with just trying to figure out if we're doing anything right. We are, by the way, every educator, pat yourself on the back. You're doing fine. Okay? And
so
are the kids.
No,
yeah.
100%. The educators are doing great. They're making it work with the resources they have right now. I just go back to the facts of the matter. You know, STEM is important. We know the careers are heading. I mean, STEM careers are in turn two times the rate of other jobs, right? So it's important. Yeah. It's growing fast, 40% faster than other non-STEM jobs. So it's just, if we can start sort of shifting back to some STEM focused activities, then we're going to leave our kids in a much better spot post-education. So,
Without question. Yep. Actually, we're going to talk about this a little bit later. I have your phone number here. I do. I'm going to give you a call. Okay. I like to talk about this privately as we get this together. Okay. You know, I want to ask you something. This is key. Right. One of the things we always try to do with kids is give them, quote, the skills they need to succeed in life. All right. Now, I'm going to say the STEM skills per se are academic skills. Okay. But there's more. All right. And that's what I want to ask you about. Look at your career. You went to school where?
I went to school in Sacramento, California, but went to college in San Diego, so stayed out here.
Is that the Aztecs? No, they're not the Aztecs, are they?
Aztecs, yeah. Aztecs.
I got it right. Whoa, that was good. I like that one. Okay, I like that.
Aztecs.
Thank you. Do I get a congratulatory hand slap or something for that?
A
virtual hand slap. That was a good
one. There we go.
Okay. And then you started your company. All right. So think, Braden, if you can, for a minute about the skills needed to do that. And it goes beyond understanding math. Okay.
Yep.
But the understanding math brings you to the other skills. So I'm asking a roundabout question. What are the skills that kids really, really need to do STEM or do STEM well and that STEM is going to give to them?
Yeah, it's really, to me, I'm going to make it as simple as possible, right? It's
Please.
Deep critical thinking and the ability to solve problems, right? So I'll use an example, and I keep going back to 3D design just because this is sort of where I've lived the past 8 years.
Do it.
But kids that, find a problem, right? So, they might want to design the best. I mean, this is a funny example, but we did this with a class where they were designing the best bagel cutter, right? How to cut a bagel perfectly in half, right? So so kids were like, hey, there's this problem. We want to cut bagels perfectly in half. When you cut them yourself on a table, they're always wrong. So we started with that problem.
I beg your pardon. I don't think I can do it. Right, no, you go ahead.
Some people can't if you're skilled.
So we started with that problem.
And they designed it. The kids designed it from scratch, developed this product. They 3D printed it, and it worked. And through trial and tribulation, they got the perfect bagel cutter. But they solved a problem and went through that entire design thinking process. And for them now, when they go out into the world, they start going, wow, I can. Why is that designed that way? I could make it better. Or how do I solve that problem? Oh, I have the skills needed to do it. So that amount of confidence and that motivation intrinsically is going to lead them, whether it's within a business or whether it's to start their own business. It's going to give them sort of that foundation to kind of do something a different way. And I think that's really important. So that deep problem solving and critical thinking is really sort of the simplicity, introducing STEM to people.
Right. And you've been successful. How long did it take you to develop Robo 3D? And I'm asking this for a reason. How many times did you fail before it worked?
Yeah, it took us about 8 months to even get our first machine to Kickstarter, which is basically like a, that's like a pre-launch platform for your product. So it wasn't even ready. And then it took us another year to actually develop it and deliver it to students or to all the people that bought on Kickstarter. So it did take a while and we failed many different times. I mean, I still have videos on my phone of us building our first machine and the machine like overheated or started spewing plastic everywhere. And so, we went through all those trials and tribulations, but when you're excited about something and you have passion for something, you'll get through all those moments naturally because you know exactly where you're going.
Failure matters. That's what makes success is failure. Okay.
Failure is a lot easier when you care about where you're going. When you have passion for the business you're in or the product you're in or the company you're in, when you have that passion, failure is like almost just a part. You go, oh, okay, that makes sense. That's fine. I'll figure out a solution and you just keep working through it. So you don't focus on the failure. You focus on how to solve the problem that failure just brought.
Exactly. And I want to read a great book by Professor Stuart Feuerstein. It's called Failure. You'll enjoy it.
Failure. Got it. Okay.
Okay.
Check it out.
You'll enjoy it. You'll love it. It's great. It's a terrific book. I want to ask you this, and this is as part of this STEM equation. There are a lot of 3D printers out there. Even when you start, what year did you start thinking about building a 3D printer?
2012, actually.
Okay.
Was when I started building it. So we launched it in 2013.
Okay, cool. What got you started? Why there was other 3D printers out there? Why did you decide to build your own?
I've always been an idea guy. I've always been, even as a kid, just always had lots of ideas, tried to build certain products and launch them. So I've just always sort of been that person. And I had a mentor back in college. I was part of an entrepreneur program. And I'll just never forget, I was sitting there listening to him, and he was talking about the gold rush. And he said, the people that were successful in the gold rush weren't the people seeking gold. It was the people selling tools to seek gold. And so always stuck with me. And when 3D printing came into my life, when I heard about it, I was like, oh my God, like, I'm always this guy that's trying to build ideas. What if I built the product that actually built ideas? And so that was my like gold rush moment in terms of,
I love that
I could be the one to help people or to help enable people to build their products and ideas. And to be honest, since I launched the business, we've seen not only students, all over the world and country, but we've seen just people in their houses develop and create products, ideas, inventions. And to me, that's the most fulfilling part of being in this business, is seeing those stories and those products kind of come to life from our users.
Building an idea that helps people build ideas, and your mentor, whoever he was right. Do you know who started in the gold rush? I never dug gold and made a lot of money. Who was that? I'm going to give you a name.
I actually don't. I don't know that.
It was President Trump's, I think, grandfather.
Really? Okay. Interesting.
President Trump's grandfather. A lot of people don't know this. He immigrated from Germany, but went to the Yukon. And it was there they developed, I think they started in hotels. He had no money. And he just started to scrap together stuff. And before you know it, he had made money off the gold rush. He had struck gold, but never struck real gold. And that's what started the Trump family money.
That's interesting. Wow, I didn't know that. Well, way to tie that into the election right now.
Is that cool or what? It's a true story.
I love it.
Okay?
That's awesome.
I know his father was Fred, but I don't know what the grandfather's name was. It might have been Frederick, too. I don't know. But just look it up. It's really an interesting history. Okay?
Yeah,
it's
think about that concept that everyone was rushing to find gold, and then there were certain people that were thinking – slightly differently and said, hey, I want to just help enable these people to find gold. And they developed way bigger businesses that way. And so, that's so interesting to me. I mean, that's why I love just kids having like this critical thinking or this design thinking mindset as they move forward in life, is they'll start looking at things just from a slightly different angle. And if we can get that to happen, some of the world's biggest problems could be solved by kids in the classroom right now.
You got that exactly right. It's really good stuff what you're doing out there. So we'll go over to boxlight.com, and then solutions, and then STEM. My STEM kits are the 3D printers, all from the mind of Braden Moreno.
Yep.
Okay, now congratulations. You're the director of STEM Solutions over there. And, man, you're going to see everything's going to come to fruition super over the next few months. Okay, and we'll talk a little bit later today as well. Okay?
All right, love it. All right, thank you so much.
Thank you. Hope you had a good time. I sure as heck did.
I did, for sure. This was great. Thank you, everyone.
And use the Trump thing. It's really interesting, right? Go for it, man.
I am now. You're the first person that's asked me that, so I'm definitely
check it out on Wikipedia. You'll win a bar bet. Go have fun. Okay?
I dig it. All right, take care, Larry.
Okay. Thanks. Bye, Braden. Braden Moreno, everybody, who's now the director of STEM Solutions at Boxlight, boxlight.com. Pardon my voice. I can hear it kind of weird today. I don't know what's going on. Boxlight.com, just go over to Solutions. You'll see my STEM kits and that sort of stuff. Really good thinking guy, just great stuff, all right? Thanks, Braden. I appreciate it. Thank you, my friend Sunshine over there that's her name, Sunshine Nance, my friend, for introducing me to Braden. This was a great show. We're going to archive it over at ace-ed.org. Please join with us, the American Consortium for Equity in Education, ace-ed.org. I'm Larry Jacobs. nasal as heck, but thanks for listening.